fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun, and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure realm. Holy Lamas high, wrap the sky of your Dharma bodies
with clouds of knowledge and love. Let them pour upon the earth, your disciples, a shower of rain, the teachings.
This jewel mandala to you, precious Guru. Yadam Guru Ratna Mandala Gam Nyadayami.
Sanji.
Jadan Zodi Janam Da Jan Jubadu Da Ni Jasu Jin Da Gi Chu Nye Ji Besu Nanji Dro La Ben Je San Ye Juba Ju. Je dan zhe ji zhe nam la jiang zhu ba du da ni jia zu ji da gi qi nie ji bei zhe nam ji zhu lan ben jie zhan jie zhu ba zhu. Je dan zhe ji zhe nam la jiang zhu ba du da ni jia zu ji da gi qi nie ji bei zhe nam ji zhu lan ben jie zhan jie zhu ba zhu.
Namo laye gedan lo dan jin ge du mon ta dan me ye gen na ro wa gun je dan na je zan ba ta je ge do da ge chue dun do wo da nga zu je bu chung wo da tong wo la je ba de song ne da je bu ri da tong wo la je ren ba wo de de ga du le du wa re da ga de Jibin din dan chung kalo denba ji kura jiwa dhyadir yawa, denba ji chara yuwa rima tu, denba ji kura jiwa dhyadir yuwa dhyadir. Jibin chung dungay denba kunyu denba tu zi raba riz, denba nyuja. Jibin din di dhile lo de, ane, karsu kure, shiro shi chiwa yindu,
ane
dungay chamu dan, kunyu chamu tu zi denba nyung tu kwa riz, marba.
It's gonna be a big day. So we've already gone over the medium scope or teachings of the small capacity, and we have arrived at the medium scope and realized and recognized the differences between the two. And when we look at the small scope and the medium scope, it's necessary for us to take also a look at the Four Noble Truths, because we see in the small scope the truth of suffering and the origin of suffering. Is something that is a little bit different than in the medium scope, because it's a much more subtle view of what the truth of suffering is and what the actual cessation is. So this actual subtlety of the cessation of suffering that the medium scope practitioner or the being of medium capacity strives for is much more vast than that of a small scope practitioner. So a being of small capacity or a small scope practitioner renounces or wishes to definitely get out of the lower realms, whereas a medium scope practitioner desires to be free from cyclic existence altogether or to renounce cyclic existence altogether. So we've already gone over the actual truth of suffering according to the medium capacity practitioner, and we've looked at the suffering of birth, the suffering of aging, the suffering of sickness, the suffering of death, the six types of suffering, etc., and the different types of suffering within the six realms of cyclic existence. So we've already gone over what the truth of suffering is according to the medium scope practitioner. So when we look at the three types of suffering, the suffering of change, the suffering of suffering, the pervasive compounded suffering, we can see that even the animals share in common with us these types of suffering. For instance, a dog can experience the suffering of suffering. So we can see that with our own eyes in the animal realm. And the suffering of suffering is the suffering one might experience when they are having illness or a disease. For instance, if that being has tuberculosis. So when one has sickness or illness, it becomes very easy for that type of person to renounce that sickness or wish to definitely get out of that type of sickness he or she has. So the next type of suffering, the suffering of change, is a little bit more difficult than the previous type of suffering, the suffering of suffering, to renounce or to definitely wish to get out of, because this is cyclic happiness, or the happiness one experiences in cyclic existence, not recognizing that that happiness, whatever one drives for or strives after, always turns into some type of suffering sooner or later. So it's the misconception of cyclic happiness that makes the suffering of change so hard to renounce or definitely get out from. For instance, if one is very hot and they go into a room and turn on an air conditioner, he or she, for a moment, might feel much better because the heat has been dispelled. That person is no longer hot. But sooner or later, it might become too cold in the room, and then the person experiences suffering because of that change that he or she initially changed from that emotion that he or she initially experienced, which initially was happiness to cool off, but suddenly becomes suffering when he or she becomes cold. So when we look at the suffering of change, the human beings in the human realm have to experience this. gods in the desire realm have to experience this, and even beings who are up to the third concentration level still have to experience this suffering of change. But once one has transcended the third level of concentration, or the third concentration level, then at that point he or she does not have to experience the suffering of change. So when we look at this desire to definitely get out of this happiness, or this the happiness of cyclic existence, we can see that this is not an exclusive concept within the Buddhist tradition. We can see there are many traditions that have various concentration levels that they can go through as well, various other religious traditions. So this desire to transcend the suffering of change, or the desire to definitely get out of the suffering of change, can be found in other religious traditions, not only Buddhism. So one can then engage in concentration, and then through this concentration or meditative concentration, he or she can arrive at the fact that there is a fault in cyclic existence. And then through recognizing that fault in cyclic existence, then he or she can renounce cyclic existence through that recognition. And then once that person achieves various levels within the concentration stages, then he or she experiences less and less of the various types of suffering. Once the fourth concentration level has been reached, then that practitioner is abiding in the formless realm and is no longer in the realms below the formless realm. So the most subtle type of suffering that one experiences is the pervasive compounded suffering. The pervasive compounded suffering is the most subtle, because this is what causes us to continuously have to experience unpleasant feelings. We might wish to experience pleasant feelings, but suddenly we have unpleasant feelings. We have no control or no independence from these chain of events that are taking place. We can't stop ourselves from getting old. We can't stop ourselves from getting sick. So this pervasive compounded suffering is the continuous rebirth and cyclic existence brought on by our karma and afflictions. And this causes us to be not independent and does not allow us to choose our rebirth. Our rebirths are all caused by the causes and conditions and our karma and our afflictions. So this is what is meant by the pervasive compounded suffering, and this is the most subtle type of suffering within the three. This pervasive compounded suffering makes it so we have no choice. We have no independence of. We have no choice whether we will get sick or not. We have no choice whether we will die. We have no independence in this situation, because this is cyclic existence. So the pervasive, I forgot one thing before, in the Tibetan, the chapa, the pervasive, the meaning of pervasive is that one has to continuously turn again and again in cyclic existence. So that's the meaning, the etymology of the word pervasive in the Tibetan.
So 아니 주 등에 요마레스 이나야 하도서 내야도고 아니 레게 가지베제 레게 녀바드 마주바드시도 하도서 되그레스 레게 녀바드 조소나 하도서 신 마사용레스
네 something jibalena the masa drotundo
something jibaji 아니 좀에 요로와 도솔 등에 주 등에 등 주 등에 요마레
요마레
요마레 이나야 고소 셰야다 Jewel Nayada, what Gabichal Royo Maris, Kusuya Legon was the only mother.
Then Yanjer, the
Jewel
the May, Dowdy Jew. So even if one is abiding in the formless realm and he or she does not have to experience the suffering of change or the suffering of suffering, they still have the pervasive compounded suffering. And when the potential or the power of the karma that allowed that being to be in that formless state, once they've reached the fourth concentration level, decreases or declines, then that being must fall to the lower realms and must have to then once again experience rebirth into a lower realms or a human rebirth or any of the other types of rebirth that one takes within the six realms of cyclic existence. So even once one has reached that level of concentration and has achieved this formless rebirth or this formless state, it still does not make them clear from this pervasive compounded suffering that will force them back into the various other realms at some point in time or another when the power of the karma that allows them to abide in the formless realm is no longer there. So once one recognizes the nature of suffering and recognizes what suffering is all about or its nature or its details, then one will start to see the faults and then renounce that suffering. And if one wishes to be free from suffering or definitely get out of suffering, then it's necessary for that person to find out what the cause of the suffering is in the first place. So he or she must analyze or engage in an analysis in order to find out what that causal factor is.
Oje tatene sanje ge den wara nasle chugu dombu gu den den dunge babi den bo den kunju babi den bo den go ba babi den bo den la babi den bo dunge she ba sha kunju bo wa sha go ba ngo de sha la go ba sha sa de sanje ge sun de ya de wo de in sir sanje ge dombu ane dunge ge ne ju she gu res dunge ge ne ju de she ne ane ti jo kunju bo gu res sanje ge wo de sun yo res
So this is why the Buddha, at the first turning of the wheel in Varanasi, stated the Four Noble Truths. He stated that this is the truth of suffering. This is the truth of origin. This is the truth of cessation. This is the truth of path. The suffering must be understood. The causes or origin must be abandoned. The path must be ascertained and practiced, and cessation must be achieved. So this is what was stated by the Buddha at the first turning of the wheel in Varanasi. He was recognizing that one first recognizes, he was stating that one first recognizes the suffering, then he or she recognizes the origin, then practices a path that leads to the cessation of that suffering.
Dungé judna tungu bada tajin lang. Shija pungja riba shaji tenpa jis. Jawa shambi, dungé tenpa nasa naburis, nasa pari naburis, nene shija. Tene nga su nasa shungsu na, nasa ka judi tzaji tani, nasa ka judi pungu urwa. Nasa ka judi, jun rabati kunju tenpa tiris. Nasa te meba ziba la nga su dadal teni mhen tenku nukos, mhen tenpa shawa tiris. Lang gomba de mhen dan dhamo res, mhen dan dhamo. Ane mhen dan dhayi, tonyi dhubi shera lang du gomba ina, tene dunghe kale kale pontu res.
Tene... Jhulama Dodejen, gare. Dodejen.
Jhulama.
Jhulama. So one can find in the commentary to the Buddha's works, in the Uttara Tantra, or the Sublime Continuum, by Lord Maitreya, quote that says that the suffering, like the sickness or an illness, must be understood, and then one must figure out what the cause of the suffering is, and there must be an appropriate diagnosis of this illness. And once this illness has been diagnosed, then the medicine must be given, or the path must be practiced. And once the path is practiced and the medicine is taken, then this illness can be eradicated. So in Maitreya's texts, he compares the suffering, the actual suffering, the first noble truth, to the recognition of an illness or a disease. And the recognition of the origin, he compares to going to a doctor to diagnose a disease. And the path itself, he compares to medicine that one must take in order to eradicate the disease. And the cessation is compared to the cessation of the illness altogether, or the eradication of the disease altogether. So this can be found in Lord Maitreya's Sublime Continuum as well. So here, it says, those who seek peace for themselves alone, turning away from worldly pleasures and avoiding destructive actions, are said to be of middling capacity. So here, this is the meaning we find back when we go to the root text. This is the meaning of the medium capacity practitioner, the condensed meaning in the fourth stanza of the root text. So here we'll also look at the source of all my good, and we can see here it says, bless me to perceive all this wrong with the seemingly good things of this life. I can never get enough of them. They cannot be trusted. They are the door to every pain I have. Grant me then to strive instead for the happiness of freedom. Grant that these pure thoughts may lead me to be watchful and to recall what I should be doing. Grant me to give the greatest care to make the vows of morality the essence of my practice. They are the root of Buddhist teachings. So here, this is the same as the fourth stanza of the Atisha's root text, because both of them are describing a medium capacity practitioner. So one recognizes that the suffering is caused by the karma and afflictions, and that if one could have a cessation of that suffering, then there would be some kind of happiness. Then there, it would be necessary for there to be a vehicle or a practice to get to that goal of cessation. So this is very similar to medicine. One takes medicine to achieve the goal of eradicating illness or having a cessation of illness. Likewise, one must practice path. And what is the path? The path is the wisdom realizing emptiness. It's the recognition of the nature of reality. If one advances along that path of the wisdom realizing emptiness, he or she can arrive at the cessation and will no longer have to experience suffering and will be able to have happiness. And I previously forgot to say that the path was the path of the wisdom realizing emptiness.
So
So if we look for the root of this, if we try to figure out what the root of cyclic existence is, we can see it is grasping at true existence or grasping at true establishment. It's believing that things inherently exist from their own side that causes us to have all of the other mistaken views. So this mistaken view or wrong consciousness that grasps at true establishment or true existence creates the other types of afflictions and negativities, such as attachment and hatred. So we see that the third poison, delusion or ignorance, is the ignorance of reality or the mistaken view that grasps at true existence, which is at the root of cyclic existence, which must be abandoned.
That biji da zu de demo garzana chugun galo da oma thanju lo je je ba ina tu ta ma ji wa res tu ta ma shi da ma wa do de ba san san ba de ne oma ba zu tu ta ma ji wa res oma ba la oma ra ju ba da thanju wa ni ne tu ta ya ju de oma thanju lo de res ba den da wa da ba da go bu lu du da a ya de wa zu ta wa de ya ju res wo de ge ne la gar gu gu res na chugun galo tende res dāju tūtōng lā tūnyā chūpa shādhārī tēndi chūkṅ gālā tēndi tēndi yīnzā anē dēmbā mā chūpa rīs dēmbā chūpa zīmbā dālā anē tēmū sīk rīs lū lū shī rīs tī yuwa kī nyō mū jī tī yuwa kī lēsā anē kuwa lū kū dēyā tsa wā tā rīs anē chūnā dēmbā mā chūpa tī shī sū na dēmbā chūpa zīmbā dēnzīl nyō nuk rīs nyē bū nuk rīs tī yāne yā tū gūmbā yīnā dūngē jūtāng pōngbī tāpat yung rīs
So when we look from the perspective of the Madhyamika Prasangika view or the middle way consequence school view, because this is the highest view, it's not to say that there aren't other views. There are four tenet systems. There is the great exposition school or the Vibhashika school, the Sutra school or Satrantika school, the mind only school or Chittamantra school, and the Madhyamika or the middle way school. Within the Madhyamika, which is the highest view, there are two schools, the Madhyamika Svatantrika and Madhyamika Prasangika. The Madhyamika Svatantrika in English is called the middle way autonomous school, and the Madhyamika Prasangika in English is called the middle way consequence school. Today we'll be speaking about the view according to the middle way consequence school, which is the highest view, the view held by the great masters such as Chandrakirti and the great master Nagarjuna and Aryadeva and Shantideva. All of these beings held this highest view of the Madhyamika Prasangika view or the middle way consequence view. And what does this view state? What is its assertion? The assertion is that because all phenomena dependently originate, they necessarily are free of true establishment, or they are not truly established, or are not inherent from their own side. So it's recognizing this, that because they are not truly established, they dependently originate, they are not truly established, then this serves as an antidote or an enemy to the wrong view of or mistaken view that grasps at true existence or mistaken view that believes that things or phenomena truly exist or truly established exclusively free of dependent origination. So the mistaken view here is that things truly exist. So according to the Madhyamika Prasangika view, things do not truly exist, they dependently originate. And one once recognizes this, then these mistaken views can slowly be eradicated and liberation can be achieved. So where is I? Who am I? Where is me or the ego? Is it in my hand? Is it in my head? Is it in my leg? Is there something exclusive of my five aggregates or my collection that comes together? That is me. Where is the I? Can the I be found within the aggregates or outside the aggregates? Or is it a collection of both? And one cannot find the I when it is looked for within these parameters, within the aggregates or exclusive of the aggregates. So it's the grasping at the I, believing that the I inherently exists from its own side, exclusive of its collection of five aggregates, that is a mistaken view. The real view, the true view, the correct view is the view that the I comes into being through a collection of the five aggregates and is then nominally designated or named as these, this collection comes into being. So all of this collection of parts comes together to then be named this or that. But there is no nature of I or this or that in that being because of dependent origination.
And then also, you can just give a inaya, labajugund was, pundigund was, sugarjugund was, sanglujitangund was, mumbuji tubala dune, egetiba yungumadu, tubalama dubi egetiba maduas.
So, see, just the art, the actual act of writing a letter requires many parts, many things to come into being in order for the act of writing a letter to take place. One needs to have a paper, one needs to have a pen. One needs to have a hand. One needs to have the intention to write. All of these things come together, and then the act of writing takes place. But there is no writing that is exclusive of that collection, inherent from its own side. So when we look at driving, we must have a car, we must have wheels, we must have a road, we must have a driver. All of these things must come together in order for there to be any sort of driving or in order for driving to take place. There is no driving that is exclusive of these parts. So once one grasps or has a grip on emptiness, this can be applied to anything. Any kind of work one is doing, one can apply these same formulas. So just look at the act of drinking. It's necessary to have a cup and something to drink and a mouth to drink from and a throat for the drink to go down in order for drinking to take place. There is no drinking that can be found that is exclusive of this collection. So it's by believing that we inherently exist or we have some exclusive inherent nature that then is the wrong consciousness or mistaken view that then causes all of the other afflictions to take place. But if one then reverses that view and recognizes that there is no inherent or true establishment from our own side, then these afflictions can be lessened. So within the different tenet systems, there are views that there is true existence. The Great Exposition School asserts true establishment or true existence. The Mind Only School asserts true existence or true establishment. The Sutra School asserts true existence or true establishment. And even in the Middle Way Autonomy School, you can see that there is an assertion that the root of cyclic existence is not the grasping at true existence, it's the grasping itself. So even in the Middle Way Autonomy School, there is a difference in opinion. The Madhyamika Prasangika view believes the root of cyclic existence is the grasping at true establishment or true existence, but the other tenet systems below that do not hold this subtle view. Autonomy School believes that the grasping at true existence is a much more subtle level than the actual grasping itself or grasping at person. So they assert that that is the root of cyclic existence. And the mind-only school as well asserts that there are things that are truly established, such as mind. So in the lower schools, such as the Great Exposition School, the Sutra School, the Mind-Only School, and the lower school of the Middle Way School, the Autonomy School, the belief is that the wrong view is that there is a difference between the self and aggregates, or person and aggregates. The belief is that it is similar to pouring water and milk together. They become of one nature or of one substance. So the mistaken viewer grasping at person, according to these lower views, is seeing the self and aggregates as being two separate entities, whereas the correct view according to these schools is that one must see them as having the same nature. So this is the belief that causes cyclic existence according to the lower schools. They don't believe it's the grasping at true existence altogether, it's the grasping at person. We could give a lot of explanation and go on and on, but I think it might hurt people's heads if we go through this. So I think it might be more wise just to say that the autonomy school of the Madhyamika and below all believe that grasping at person or self is the cause of the problems of cyclic existence, and the Prasangika school or the highest school believes it's grasping at true existence, and just dividing it like this might be fine.
Oje ta gande ta oma thanju wadul kwa cha na yabu jira res chuno tende res demo ma ru res demo ma ru wadul kwa ya bche sa ne yab ta ma ina deva ru wadul mi denzin ne ndu res ta ba ju ma yim ba she su na ta ba ju zing lol ne ndu du was ju zing lol ne su na o ju su ja shi na du ndu du was o den da bu yin sa
yan je sir na ngin jason nge de
chuno deva ru wadul mi zin ba deva ru wadul mi denzin de ane chuna deba ma ruba she suna chuna deba ruba zin den zin ne ne gres ent dat pe na taba dru ma yin ba she sun taba dru zin lo ne no do dru su jo gen yami ji ba du no den da gres.
So it's very good if one can start to think about dependent origination and recognize that dependent origination must mean that there is a lack of true establishment or that things do not truly exist. It's once this correct view or non-mistaken view begins to come about that the correct views will come into one's mind. It's very similar to the wrong view of seeing a rope and believing that it's a snake and having all of this fear suddenly come, but then having a correct view come and recognizing that the rope is a rope and it's not a snake and it can't bite and there shouldn't be any fear there because a rope isn't a scary thing. So it's very similar to this. Once one recognizes the nature of reality and recognizes the lack of true establishment, then all of these other negativities go away. The nature of reality is understood and cessation can be achieved.
Taba drudun zim lo lo jeres taba druma yin ba she suna an drudun lo dun no no wa lo lo druma yin ba she lo lo den ba res drudun zim lo lo zun ba res lo den ba de ge zun ba no no res chuna de ba ma ru ban zim lo den ba res den zin lo lo jeres den zin zun zan den ba de ge lo zun ba den zin no no res.
So this actual thought serves as an enemy to this grasping at true existence, or as an opponent to this grasping at true existence. It's by recognizing this. It's by recognizing that this rope is a rope. And this is the non-mistaken view. The mistaken view that was that it was a snake. And once this mistaken view is eradicated and the realization that there is a rope in front of that person and not a snake takes place, then the fear is no longer there. Likewise, once the recognition takes place that things are not truly established, then all of the other negativities that ensue as a result of that mistaken view are lessened. So once one familiarizes themselves with the nature of reality or emptiness and becomes more aware of this lack of true establishment, then this grasping at true existence is lessened. And the tama yanjur suruna. Tama. So then the effect of this grasping at true existence will slowly be lessened, and one will not have to experience the results of it because the mistaken view is not there. So what the mistaken view is not produces cannot be produced. But this medium scope practitioner, being of medium capacity, does not look towards other sentient beings. He or she does not look or care for others. The thought is to achieve liberation or nirvana for oneself alone. So this type of practitioner wishes to achieve liberation for his or herself and be there alone and have their own nirvana, but does not look to bring other sentient beings to that same place. So then, when we move on to the great scope practitioner, they have a much more vast or a wider scope of thinking. The scope is much broader because, yes, they do have renunciation, the same as the other practitioner of cyclic existence and suffering, but they also recognize that other sentient beings are suffering and having to experience these pains. So recognizing their own suffering, they look towards other sentient beings and then develop love and compassion and a wish to bring them to a place beyond that suffering. And this is why it is called the great scope, because the scope of the thinking of this type of being is so much more vast, because it is not only focused on oneself, it is focused on liberating others.
So
So if we're going to speak of the great scope or the great vehicle practitioner, it's very important to recognize that the root of the great vehicle is the mind that aspires to Buddhahood or bodhicitta. So this is the root of the great vehicle, The causal factor for being a Buddhist is having refuge in the three jewels. The causal factor for being a Mahayanist or a great vehicle practitioner is bodhicitta, or the mind that aspires to enlightenment. So what is this thought? What is this mind that aspires to enlightenment? The recognition of suffering, the recognition that others are suffering, and like oneself, those other sentient beings do not wish to have suffering. They wish to have happiness, and how nice it would be to bring them to a place that was beyond suffering, that was in a place of happiness. How nice it would be to bring them to a state of Buddhahood, to a complete, unsurpassable bliss. But we recognize that we are limited, and at this moment in time, we don't have the ability to bring all sentient beings to a state beyond sorrow, to a state of happiness. So then we must become enlightened, we must become Buddhas in order to have the capacity to do that. And then this is bodhicitta, this is the mind that aspires to enlightenment. This is what these thoughts lead up to. Bodhicitta is the result of this type of thinking, the thinking that looks towards others because of the recognition of one's own suffering and the wish to free those others from the things that you yourself do not wish to experience. So these are not exclusive scopes or these beings of small capacity. We say that these are teachings shared in common with beings of small capacity, shared in common with beings of medium capacity, because one must have all of the different thoughts within the different scopes in order to achieve the highest type of thinking. One must have the refuge of the small scope and the understanding of karma or action and its results, and the understanding of the necessity of confession or acknowledgement, and the understanding of the necessity of utilizing such things as the four opponent powers in order to purify. And once one reaches that level, then it's very easy to slowly move into the medium scope thought. So we can see how all of these scopes are necessary to have, and this is why they are called shared in common with. So by thinking over the facets or factors of the small scope over and over again and of the medium scope and familiarizing oneself with these things over and over again, then one can reach the great scope or great capacity quite easily. So it's necessary. The reason we say shared in common with small capacity, shared in common with medium capacity, is because these are the causal factors for the great scope or the great vehicle. If there are not causal factors, an effect cannot be produced. This is why it's necessary to have all of these scopes in order to be of the great capacity practitioner type. So here the first part where we've arrived at the great scope in this text is at 5. those who, through their personal suffering, truly want to end completely all the suffering of others are persons of supreme capacity or great capacity. So here, this is a very condensed meaning of, or the first condensed introduction to the great scope practitioner, and then other things will be explained as this text goes on to enhance it. So here it says those who through their own personal suffering. So this is the meaning of this, truly want to end completely the end of suffering of others. In the Tibetan it flows a little more cleanly, but it's through the recognition of one's own suffering, recognizing the suffering of suffering and wanting to be free from it, recognizing the suffering of change, recognizing the pervasive compounded suffering, and recognizing the necessity to be free from those types of suffering for oneself. Then the thought turns to other sentient beings and recognizes that all of those other sentient beings, all the other beings, have to experience the suffering as well. They have to experience the suffering of suffering. They have to experience the suffering of change. They have to experience the pervasive compounded suffering. So then that type of practitioner then says, I would like to see all sentient beings, not just myself, be able to be free from these types of suffering. So here, this is why it says, truly want to end completely all the suffering of others are persons of supreme capacity. So recognizing their own suffering, they recognize that others suffer and then wish to free them because of their motives. So one starts to think about the suffering of change, the suffering of suffering, the pervasive compounded suffering, all of the different sufferings of cyclic existence, then one will start to wish to get out very quickly from those types of suffering once one familiarizes oneself with all of these different types of suffering. And then that renunciation takes place, and then the thought about others takes place. Then the need to quickly become a Buddha, the thought that it's necessary to quickly become a Buddha in order to achieve the goal. And what is that goal? That goal is to be able to free all sentient beings from suffering. So this type of practitioner renounces cyclic existence, recognizes other people have the suffering within cyclic existence, and then looks for the fastest way possible to become a Buddha in order to help them.
This
is the abbreviated meaning of the great scope.
Yeah. Mm.
So in the sixth stanza, Genlam Rinpa, the commentator on this text, states that there are two sections of this. The commitment to compose or to explain, where it says, for those excellent living beings who desire supreme enlightenment, I shall explain the perfect methods taught by the spiritual teachers. So here it says, for those excellent living beings, who desire supreme enlightenment are those great scope practitioners. So here, this is what this is referring to. So, and here, it's not only that the promise to compose, But the promise, the second part, is the promise to compose it perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Sinjian Dhamma Shangchu Chu, Sinjian Dhamma Shangchu Chu, Sinjian Dhamma Shangchu Chu, Sanji Gubung Ma Rebe, Sanji Gubung Rebe, Sanji Gubung, Sanji Gubung Tuya Gendeba Yeba Teda La, Sanji Gubung Tuya Gendeba Sul Yuwa Re, Teba Shangchu Senba Sul Yuwa Re, Teba Chinpe Rijin Sul Yuwa Re, Sanji Gubung Tuya Gendeba De, Teba Chinpe Yuwa Re, Teda Be Sanji Gubung Tuya La, Jutsu, Tao Shiro, Jumu, Subala, then a Sanji Kumo Tugurumatu, Jusu Maton Aladena, Sanji Galicabres, Teta be Tao Shiro to Sukungalo, Lama Naji, Nembade, and then Addition Shigins, what is one wizard?
So here again, for those excellent living beings who desire supreme enlightenment, who are those? Who wants to become complete Buddhas? Who are those beings? Those are Bodhisattvas. Bodhisattvas are beings who desire to become complete Buddhas for the sake of all sentient beings. So here, for those excellent living beings who wish for this highest enlightenment, I will explain these perfect methods. So the promise to compose and the recognition that the methods will be perfect because they will be the methods that have been passed down by the spiritual teachers and the perfect methods that have been passed down by the spiritual teachers. It's necessary to have both method and wisdom to achieve complete enlightenment or a complete Buddhahood. So it's necessary to depend upon a spiritual teacher in order to know what that method and wisdom is. So once one depends upon a spiritual teacher, then the method and wisdom can be taught. So it's necessary to have the causal factor for the Buddhahood in order to achieve Buddhahood. If the cause is not there, the result cannot take place. So there must be perfect cause in order for the perfect result to take place.
And Tiba Chimbi Gonzazu, Sanji Gumutuban Dugore, Sanji Gabuore, Sanji Tual Nobayuore, Sanji Tubala, and then Sanji Tuagi, Jutus Guguores, Jus Sanji Kusumuare, Adishadan, Tumela Super to Sukusumuores, the Sukusumba Najide, and again, Masungi Sunday said it.
So here it says, I shall explain the excellent methods of the Buddha, the excellent methods of a Sangha, all of these perfect methods that lead one to complete enlightenment. Because if one desires to have complete Buddhahood, then that desire itself is not enough. There must be a method to get to that. There must be causal factors for that. So here, the promise to compose according to the great masters has been asserted in the text.
Shangju Sembi Duma Matu Kongi Shangju Sentele, Buddhist Tele, Mersen Logres, Shangju Sembi Duma Totadu, and then Shangju Sentel and Jusen Logres. What the Nikarimashi Yusungur?
So, when we talk about bodhicitta, or the mind that aspires to enlightenment, there are two types. There is aspiring bodhicitta, or aspiring mind that aspires to enlightenment, and engaged, or actual. Mind that aspires to enlightenment. And what is the difference between these two? Aspiring bodhicitta is the actual aspiration to become a Buddha for the sake of all sentient beings. It's a wish. It's a wish or desire to become a Buddha. But engaged bodhicitta is the kind of bodhicitta that one has once one has taken the bodhisattva vow. That is, and that bodhisattva vow is combined with aspiring bodhicitta. So actual engaged bodhicitta is bodhicitta that is combined or combined with the taking of a bodhisattva vow. So that's the difference between aspiring and engaged bodhicitta. The aspiring does not have the bodhisattva vow taken at that point.
Okay.
I want to endure it to burn off some bad karma.
Okay. Yeah.
Later, Dren. I'll talk to you.
提前先去问那些吧，提前先去些吧。啊，那先去吧，那学吧，初二，初二了，好吧，初二，学吧，初二，说那个初二，先去初二些吧。啊，那下中三节送用送。也是个送送那个送。初二，初二。
So then there will be next an explanation of the different kinds of collections that one must get, the collection of wisdom, the collection of merit, both of these types of collections that are necessary. So we'll slowly get into these other things. So if anybody has questions, if there's no questions, that's fine, we can end. If we have questions, we can go on. Whatever everybody wants to do. Sure.
What are the four types of giving?
The four types of giving? Jimba, the line is ji gare.
Jimba na je tate chu ji jimbas. Nazu jin chu ji ba chu ji jimbas gres.
The first type of generosity is generosity of dharma. It's actually giving of dharma or teaching of dharma.
Chu ji jimba, san jin ji jimbas na nazu
Material generosity, when we give items or food or different types of things, the material generosity is the second type. The next type of generosity is called the generosity of freeing others from fear. For instance, taking a bug out of a water that's drowning, freeing a prisoner who's in a prison. So freeing a sentient being from a type of fear that he or she might have. So it's very similar to meditation upon love. So meditating upon love and the desire for others' happiness. This type of generosity is characterized by.
Shambi Jimba, Marie. Shambi Jimba, Shamba Gumba, Yama Gumba, Injira.
Shambi Jimba, the Zipala, Zipa Yimba.
Chuji Jimba,
Chuji
Jimba, Manjibi Jimba, Shambi Jimba, Jimba Najita to Jins.
Then Dundagare, Shambi Jimba.
Shambi Jimba, Shamba Gumba, Jindo.
So, then Nama Chiran Las on Shamba Gumba. So the last kind is called the generosity of love. Now, before, previously when we spoke of love, we were speaking specifically towards freeing those from fear. So freeing, as was said before, a bug from the water that's drowning, or freeing a prisoner from a prison. So the last one is actual love, or generosity of love.
What the contribution of this?
And I think it's this. Yes, ma'am. What is the third concentration? The Samten, the Tambo Nipa Sumba Jipa Dondagare.
The name is a Dangasun Deba Zu Zumes Kansun Yoris Kansun. Nasu Jewel as a Kantasun Yoris. Deba Dangasun Yasunta, Debi Hatam Matun Deba Lodoris. Desert on Marbe.
That's so.
The name Pemaran Marbe. Pemaran de Zukan Logris, Zukan.
That's so.
Tele. Rinda de Jeyuaris, Santan Tambo, Nyingba, Songba, Jiwa, Jiwa. So, Pemrang. What the name Jiwa is, Tambo, Nyingba, Songba, Jiwa.
Then Zume Kham got to hear it.
Zume Kham le Jiwa is, Nakata, Najita, Jamis is Jiwa.
So, the meaning of the concentrations is as follows. There are three realms. There's another, the translators note we say six realms, but we also say three realms. The desire realm, the form realm, and the formless realm. Within the desire realm, we have humans, any of the six realms. We have desire realm gods. In the form realm, these are beings that have reached certain concentration levels. There are eight concentration levels. Excuse me. The form realm being is on the first four of these concentration levels that he or she goes through. They're just levels of more and more subtlety and concentration. And then one reaches the fifth concentration level, there's a formless state. And that level of concentration has the concentration like space. There's all these different names of those types of concentrations within the formless realm. So there are four levels. So there's eight levels. There's something J here. So this being feels that there are all these downfalls within their surroundings and so forth, and then achieves various concentration levels and meditates over and over and again to be able to ascend, descend, or it's up. Ascend into the form realm. I always get those two confused. Yep. The Dutamawa Gari Yakshu, the Tambo Shiramawa Lobjun She, then the Dodepa Lobjun She, then Semsampa Lobjun She, then Umapa Lobjun She, the Nyamdu Lobjun She, Gari Yakshu, Nampi Sarpa.
Ruta mawa jantu na jika jantu na yaburis. Jika de shira mawa shin duduba ruru shin yaburis. Tene tama de yabu yimbo kuris.
It's good if you can go through all of them one by one and understand the first and all the other standings, because that will make your understanding of the final view real.
Ta zumel jin again to so zuhal gabu yomaris. Zuhal zumi tuha ta reja ta tusul.
So then this form realm practitioner is meditating. That sounded like the beginning of a joke. So the form realm meditation, that's what was said though. The form realm meditator is meditating and then recognizes, oh, I have all of these forms around me. I have all of this contamination. I don't want to have this anymore. I must concentrate harder so I can achieve a formless state. So then they renounce the form realm, this type of being, and then that renunciation causes them to engage in concentration, which causes a formless state. So these are the differences in thinking in the different form and formless realms.
There's
some who meditate on space. They don't have any sort of idea of shape or color, and they believe that they just meditate on a space-like existence. And this is called space meditation or space familiarization. So there's levels of concentration one can reach. So then one gets to that and is not satisfied with the space concentration and then wishes to have a clairvoyant level of concentration. So then desires to achieve a higher level of concentration. These are the stages that a meditator on the stages of concentration would go through. So, but this is all according to karma and actions. This is all forced and produced by karma and actions. So it cannot be produced if the actions have not taken place to create this potential.
시즈 워드버도 그네 근데 시즈 링에 반존에 동행도 봉소선은 타버렸어 타버
So then once the desire to be free from all of that takes place then the renunciation can take place or the desire to be liberated to achieve liberation is there
산된 걸 하도 저기 하도 저기 깜바 야지 가서 잠을 자바이나 깜바 대충도 말했을 잠을린든지 산된 살 깜바 늘지나 잠을린든 쇼 말했을 들리쳐요스
I have no idea. Yanjer Suranam.
Santin Tozil Hayorola. Hatu Zubu Bichimuris. Gamba to Chibuzil Gamba. Ji Deneng Azun Zamilin Kalajaba in the Shomaris. Zamilin Denabuji. Kalai Gamba Denabu. Chibu.
Yanjer Temchi. A Gangasin of the Sopo Lago.
Had the Layad, Tama to Zubu Chichi. Zubu bigger tall, the Zat Chiburis, Tama Tama Chichich and Rugula. To Zutan Tamagal Hachua to the gay and a Gamba Sumarbe. Gamba Ching as on Zamil in Shumaris.
Ale. Okay. Even beings who have reached the peak of cyclic existence recognize that they're at the peak, they're at the highest point, but they're still within that. They're on top of cyclic existence.
The
Su Shingdu.
This is the Sawoma Latama to the Tsiringa Yoris, Zubucha Yoris, Zubringa Yoris, Titama Delirium, Tishi Yoris.
So these beings strive for bigger and bigger things, but they eventually reach the peak of cyclic existence, the last level of. The highest place that one can abide in cyclic existence. So these various different kinds of gods traverse these levels and become bigger and bigger and have greater sized bodies and so forth. But it's said they're sitting on the peak. It's stated that it's like sitting on the world or sitting on the peak of cyclic existence.
Would they assert from a wrong perspective that that was a permanent existence?
Konsu the tama, konsu tsampa tapa yimba mi tapa yimba. No, Konsu the Kelengudu, Gari Kelen. Kashi Kelen Tapa, Kashi Kelen Mitapa.
That then Sheba the Nabar is. Shurubazuki Gunja and the Santan just on the Tapa Tours, Tapa the Nijuman the Jewers. Santan the Zuman just on the Tabar is the Lovers. Namba Jinna the Tapa Malda, Tanda to the Kui Neris, Led on Yumu, Led Nevazu Mazayamuris.
So it depends on who's asking the question. Within a non-Buddhist tradition, the belief that is that once one reaches certain levels of concentration, that this is actual liberation or nirvana. So these beings believe that they are liberated at this point. But as Buddhists, we don't believe that they're liberated. We believe that they've been freed. We believe that they are in cyclic existence still, caused by karma and afflictions, and that this is not a nirvana or a true cessation. Yes.
How do we know if we have bodhicitta?
The Shanchu Jesem Yuna Kandre Hakogudu.
Shanchu Sen Yuna Shanchu Sen Jul Jason, the Nasuda Mandraji or Senko Kensa Wars, Jen San Matu, Susu Rajin Viji Chanos, Sabituation Mother, and Jenle Shambat and Hinsu Leo.
So it's only for oneself to know. You can't tell, you know, what others have or don't have, but it's one would know they had it if the grasping at self-cherishing attitude was completely disintegrated and the desire to cherish others was the only thought that was there. Once one destroys the self-cherishing attitude and achieves the attitude that wishes to care for others or cherish others, then that would be an indicator that bodhicitta has arrived.
That's
okay, that's it. So there was this monk on a mountain. The sixth Dalai Lama came up. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun, and the moon. I imagine this is a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient living beings enjoy this pure land. I dedicate whatever virtues I have collected for the benefit of the teachings and of all sentient beings, and in particular, for the essential teachings of the Venerable Lozan Drapa to shine forever. I send forth this jeweled mandala to you, precious Guru. Idam Guru Ratna Mandalagam Niradayami. I dedicate all this virtue to emulate the knowledge of the hero Manjushri, likewise Samantabhadra as well. Whatever dedication is praised is supreme by all the conquerors who traverse it three times. I also dedicate all my roots of virtue for the sake of auspicious deeds. Jambe bahu jeda jen badang kondu zambo de yan de jinde de da gunji jesu da loje gewa de da tanche ratungo du som she be je wa tanche yi ngo wa gan la cho tu nga ba de da jen ge we tsa wa di kun jang san po chu chi ra tu ngo wa ni. In the heavenly realm of Tibet, surrounded by a chain of snow mountains, source of all happiness and health for beings, is Tenzin Gyatso, Chen Rezig in person. May his life be secure for hundreds of kalpas.
God.